It is 48 minutes of tragedy, despair, terror, and violence, but also 2 minutes of triumph.
There's no shortage of struggle in the Shostakovich Symphony No. 10. With a deep awareness of the pain in life, but it's a heroic struggle for the composer and the listener, with uplift and devotion to the human spirit and the ability to go on in the face of the greatest obstacles. Jim Cunningham with you, the disc jockey who will not give up. The Symphony No. 10 by Dmitri Shostakovich is next from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio with Manfred Honeck conducting.
It was said that he composed that after the death of Stalin. And it's true that it's probably connected to Stalin, but we have to know that he started to write the symphony or even before Stalin died. Actually, when you understand what's going on in the Soviet Union in that time, I think he describes the brutalness of the regime and the way artists have to live. You know, he was in 1948 again banned by the committee of the Soviet party, saying that Shostakovich is not composing for the people in a realistic way. He's doing his own, he's an egoist. And so he was kicked out of the conservatoire. So he describes the desperation, whatever they did, the artists in that time, they didn't know what happened. They could be imprisoned, or could be sentenced to death, whatever, you know. Many artists really suffered this tragedy, and Stalin was responsible. So you hear in this symphony a lot of desperation and darkness sometimes, brutalness. The second movement is said to be described Stalin himself. But then there's also some moment of hopes, moment of where you think, oh, the life continues. And I would say in the end, there's also an end where you feel the life is going on. We are having now the hope that things are going better politically and in the society in the Soviet Union. It did not really much better, but it was at least a relief that somebody who was made responsible for all this tragedy has left the world.
The Shostakovich Symphony No. 10 is a favorite of Pittsburgh Symphony flute Jennifer Steele.
This powerful piece is filled with rich sonorities, moments of deep sadness and despair, and raging technical sections. As a second flutist, I am quite busy. The most challenging section for me is a piccolo duo I play with Rian Kenny, our principal piccolo. This duet creates a slow and somber ending to the first movement, and I believe it portrays the feelings of anguish of both Shostakovich and the Russian people under Stalin's regime. One of the great thrills of my job is to play with the world's best woodwind section. Much of this symphony is filled with furious, rip-roaring technical passages that highlight us. Let me demonstrate this for you. After playing this symphony, I am always very thirsty. So I like to make myself not a white Russian, not a black Russian, but a blue Russian. It's made with a little vodka, some blue curacao, and a splash of cream. Cheers.
Pittsburgh Symphony flute Jennifer Steele will be heard with piccolo Rian Kenny and the rest of the orchestra in just a moment in the Shostakovich Symphony No. 10. Shostakovich was twice denounced by his Soviet regime. In 1936, Shostakovich was condemned for writing muddle instead of music following the premiere of his opera, Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk. Again in 1948, after the Second World War, as part of a general purge of modernist music by Soviet authorities, Shostakovich was on the hot plate. Joseph Stalin was no doubt behind both attacks, but with Stalin's death on March 5, 1953, a burden was lifted. Shostakovich began writing his symphony, although he'd been thinking about it for quite a while. The premiere took place on December 17, 1953. Here is Manfred Honeck to conduct the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, the Symphony No. 10 in E minor, Opus 93 by Dmitri Shostakovich.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Symphony No. 10 in E minor, Opus 93 by Dmitri Shostakovich. Manfred Honeck conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. The Shostakovich 10th was first heard in Leningrad on the 17th of March, 1953, with Yevgeny Moravinsky conducting. Pittsburgh Symphony Music Director William Steinberg conducted the 10th by Shostakovich just 2 years after the premiere on December 9, 1955 at the Syria Mosque in Pittsburgh. Dmitri Shostakovich said his 10th symphony was about Joseph Stalin, especially in the fireball of the second movement Scherzo. Pittsburgh Symphony violinist Suzanne Park and her husband, double bassist John Moore, spoke to the Heinz Hall audience about the 10th.
Ladies and gentlemen, in our hands, we have the top 10 list of how playing a Shostakovich symphony is like being married. Number 10, in both, there can be found major drama.
Number 9, you think you know what you're getting into, but it's not until you're in the middle of it that you find out how prepared you really are.
Number 8, you're going along thinking you have the most important part, but you realize it's actually a duet. Number 7, when playing a Shostakovich symphony, I've learned that Suzanne is always right.
Number 6, both require patience.
Number 5, both require you to play your part well, but it's always more important to listen.
Number 4, both deal with themes of dictatorship and oppression. Did you write this one?
Number 3, when things seem to be endlessly gloomy, you need to remember that soon there will be humor and sarcasm.
Number 2, it helps to have aspirin handy. Lots of aspirin. And the number 1 way that playing a Shostakovich symphony is like being married. As monumental an undertaking as both may seem, ultimately, they are among the most rewarding experiences in life.
You learned how playing the Shostakovich 10th Symphony resembles being married, according to violinist Suzanne Park and double bassist John Moore, with some visual emphasis added when the cards were tossed onto the stage with extra vehemence. Manfred Honeck is back on the stage with the microphone in hand.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. As you see, if I have the microphone in the hand, it's always dangerous. We want to play an encore for you. It is a waltz from Sleeping Beauty by Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Just for you, and I thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Waltz from the ballet Sleeping Beauty by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Manfred Honeck conducted an encore at Heinz Hall with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra after they played the Shostakovich Symphony No. 10. There's time for one more Russian favorite from Tchaikovsky. Former music director Maros Yansens and the Pittsburgh Symphony traveled to the summer home of the Boston Symphony on July 8, 2001, at the Tanglewood Music Festival, where a live broadcast of Tchaikovsky's 6th Richard Strauss Rosenkavalier Suite and Mozart's Hofner Symphony closed with an encore, the Pas de Deux from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. Maros Yansens conducting the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. The Pas de Deux from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. The Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and former music director Maros Yansens at the Tanglewood Music Festival, the summer home of the Boston Symphony. That was July 8, 2001. It was music steeped in emotion for Maris Janssens, who grew up listening to his conductor father Arvid Janssens leading the Tchaikovsky in his homeland, Mother Russia. Brother Jim with you for Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. This program began with Cameron Carpenter's transcription of the Paganini Rhapsody by Rachmaninoff. We heard an encore from Cameron Carpenter, John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever. Thanks for joining me. I'm Jim Cunningham. Harold F. Chambers III is our recording engineer at Hines Hall. At WQED-FM, our program and production manager, Brian Savar, prepares these programs. I hope you'll return next week, same time and place, for a concert by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Remember, there are just two orchestras in the world with their own internet audio service 24 hours a day. You'll find the Pittsburgh Symphony on the Pittsburgh Concert Channel at WQED.org. Listen. You can hear the Pittsburgh Symphony online or with iTunes from your computer or smartphone. The entire season can be found as streaming audio on demand. Till we meet again, write for your free program guide, also in the envelope, the Pittsburgh Symphony binoculars. They're great for watching concert life, and they're free. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, 15213. Be sure to include your address and let me know what station you're listening to. Our address again, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, 15213. You can visit our website at psoradio.org or send email to pso@wqed.org. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by Pat and Michelle Atkins, who underwrite in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
PRI, Public Radio International.